Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's go. Oh, okay, what's the music? Okay. Well, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. As always, Blog Talk Radio technical difficulty sucks.
Yeah, I guess then, I guess we're not the only ones coming back from vacation. Go figure, right?
They're probably still on vacation themselves. I won't be surprised. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the newly nominated Supreme Court Justice nominee, the one, the only
Supreme Sean Black in the building once again.
Hey, congratulations that Trump nominated you for the Supreme Court. I'm so
proud of you. Thank you. Now let's see how far I go before they just rip me down and throw me somewhere else.
Of course. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, the telephone number to call for complaints, thoughts, comments, or just tell me how sexy I am. The number to that is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, welcome back from your vacation.
Thank you.
Are you ready to piss some people off, or you just want to keep calm?
Let's keep calm and piss people off at the same time. How about that?
All right, cool. Well, like I said, we was on vacation. Even though Sean Black had been sending me news story every day last week, I keep telling him we are not doing the show. Because I was busy with other events, and part of it was drinking. But like I said, last week was 4th of July, celebrations and barbecues and beaches, all that nonsense. And you know me, Sean Black, I always like to talk about the holidays. Should we still celebrate? Should we still do this? Columbus, Thanksgiving. For 4th of July, do you think all the things that's going on in this crazy world today, with the open racism that we just talked about a few minutes ago, with immigration crisis, of the so-called logo of making America great again, do you think black people overall at this time right now should celebrate if they know the true history of Independence Day or 4th of July? Do you think black people should celebrate 4th of July, or just call it a barbecue day?
Well, if you're going to be African-American as far as the way of life that African-Americans are accustomed to now, and you know the way the history, if you've done your research and you know the history of Independence Day, and even more so if you know the story and the research of the Star-Spangled Banner, a lot of African-Americans are going to feel very, very weird about that. And we all know a lot of it is rooted in a lot of the slavery. A lot of it is into keeping minorities down, keeping control over certain things. So a lot of those instances were founded on the backs of a lot of African-Americans and slaves that were brought over to the United States and kept down. You can celebrate the day itself as a day off. You can even celebrate the country itself, because let's be honest, in general, as a country, there are a lot more freedoms that you have in the United States than you do in a lot of other countries on this planet. To say this country is perfect, you're way off base. We know that. But you have to understand where African Americans are going to have a lot of consternation over the conflicting ideals and the what a lot of people would call false made-up patriotism to a lot of people, and that forced patriotism that's been commercialized and is thrown into people's faces on a regular basis, rah, 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 waves a flag, and there are a lot of African Americans who don't feel that they are still free in this country at all. So you can look at it in that way.
So, but with that mindset alone, basically, should we still be patriotic about this country overall? And we know we live here, we are American citizens, and we like we just said, we know the history, the true history of Independence Day. Should we just go for it or just let it be?
You can still feel a sense of patriotism in the country that you are a citizen of, that you are raised in, that you live in, the United States. The basis of the country, for the most part, is more an ideal than an actual entity itself. The ideal that every man is free, that you can bring people from other countries in, indoctrinate them into society, bring them up, and then have a better outlook as far as being able to make money, businesses, better way of life for your family. You can do that. The problem is, if you are a minority in this country, you have a lot more hurdles, you have a lot more handicaps, you have a lot more, shall I say, shackles to keep you from getting to where you want to get. But even with those obstacles, you can still make it. There are things that are in the way, but there are ways to break those barriers and break through certain things. A lot of it is education. A lot of it is just reading up, like we were just talking about, reading up on the past, looking at certain things, but also at the same time, education, money, and also being able to vote. Because voting will help keep certain things alive in certain areas, and it also alerts your government, you being the citizen of the United States, that you want your government to take care of certain things. And those people that you vote in will help control where that power goes.
Well, and talking about 4th of July, there was an incident that happened last week on the 4th of July where you have a woman who tried to make a protest and tried to make a statement towards ICE and the immigration crisis climb up on the Statue of Liberty. That's right, to our listeners around the world, a lady climbed up, not all the way up, or two by the foot of the Statue of Liberty and protest to make a statement. Sean Black, do you think that was appropriate to do that? And also, Donald Trump had a reaction to that overall. What's your thoughts?
Well, if Trump, as we all know, is going to say something that riles up his base, he's going to need a reason why he's going to say something. To answer your first question, the statement that she made was to, quote-unquote, abolish ICE, which was one of the – she was with a group of people that are against the premise behind ICE. And there are a lot of people that are looking at ICE as Immigration and Customs entity. They look at what they're doing as far as the taking apart of families, which we've been talking about in the news for at least a couple of months, and all of the different things that they've been doing, and they're looked at, for lack of a better word, they're looked at as the Gestapo. What they want is something to abolish ICE and replace it with something that's a little more humane and a little more thorough as far as fair to what they're doing. But yet, the protest was to bring attention to that. I don't know if I would have actually climbed up the Statue of Liberty, but I get the symbolism in the message of why she did it. And the president, we all know, is looking for any reason to say something, to go on his magical Twitter machine and say something about whatever is going on. He looked at it and basically, I don't know, it's frustrating, but not surprising in the reaction that our president had toward this particular instance.
Well, basically, Trump called her a clown.
Yes.
For climbing up on the Statue of Liberty and for her protest. And I do agree. I'm like, even though you have your freedom to do your protest, to me, even though it may seem like a symbol and happened on the 4th of July, America's birthday, blah, 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 climbing up to the Statue of Liberty doesn't do anything. It may bring attention for a minute, but you get your fine, you go to jail for a couple of hours, and that's it. Everything's back to normal. So to me, it's a waste of time. I'm sorry.
The question is, what's normal? Mm-hmm. That's the big question. What is considered normal in this society? And I think that's the main question that is to be asked throughout this entire conversation. Whatever is what you consider normal, or what is if it considered other people consider normal, and that's mm-hmm. where you're going to have that butting of heads.
Well, normal, I think that's why we get a lot of news media about this back and forth between this, like I told you earlier over the phone, this open racism. It's like, if this is normal, or this is just being recorded on camera phones right now, get thrown to our faces. So this is nothing new, but we're still acting like this is new overall, or we're just, you know, taking it to our heart right now, like, wow, this is really happening. You know, we're going backwards to the 50s and 60s. Well, K-Dog, what do you like to add on?
Well, with that one, hey, what's up, guys? Well, looking at the protests that happened on July the 4th, it was absolutely like she was trying to make a statement. I understand that, but that was a crazy stunt by going on the base of the Statue of Liberty, because remember, it's a national landmark, and you know, it's filled with security. So anybody climbing up there is deemed to be suspicious. But however, I could understand that she was trying to make a statement, that she was protesting against what's going on with ICE and all. Would I have done it? Would I have? I wouldn't have climbed it. I would have protested, but to climb the base, no, I wouldn't. And as for your statement, Hot Rod, about the racism, listen, racism is nothing new. But what the Trump administration did was open the doors to a new wave of racism. Those who, you know, were laying low are now coming out now and being more bold with their racism more than ever.
I'm happy you brought that part up, because I was about to make a statement, because I've been getting a little bit annoyed by seeing these stories of people white people overall in general calling the cops for the most stupidest reasons overall.
Exactly.
I mean, we did talk about some stories, but now, ladies and gentlemen, to our listeners around the world, it's becoming a bigger trend. One person call on a lady to get the lady out from a community pool, and she lived there.
Yeah.
One lady called a cop on a black guy because he had his socks in the pool. He was wearing his socks in the pool. Okay, yes, it was granted that is disgusting, but there's no reason to call a cop for that. And
a lady called a cop on a 12-year-old boy who was just mowing the lawn.
Yes. And guarantee you guys, if we have called the cops for the same exact reasons, what do you think will be the result of that?
We would probably be put in jail.
Exactly.
On some level. It's the ideal behind, in a lot of instances, what is it that is in the mind of whoever it is, black, white, or whatever race, but what is it in the mind of the human being that has to resort to calling the cops on some of the most insane examples? The one example to me that, well, two examples. The first one that added to this was the African-American firefighter who had the police called on him. He was off duty, had the police called on him, and he was doing, I believe he was doing some sort of training, and somebody called the cops on him. The other one that has gotten a lot of traction, but since we've been off for a couple of weeks, was a family in a church that were in the middle of a repast and a funeral. And the white pastor of the church called the police because somebody bumped into a chalice in the middle of the repast. This pastor not only called the police, he then proceeded to kick everyone out of the church in the middle of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Including mm-hmm. the body of the person who passed. These are the kinds of stories that we've been hearing, that Hot Rod has spoken about, that if for those that might not be able to understand and digest how how insultingly insane these stories are. They seem to every day get worse and worse and even more petty and even more petty and more troublesome.
And let me add on two quick stories. Like I told Sean, there was a 91-year-old man that was attacked by a lady with a brick, hit all over. And the crazy part about this, and they yelled at the poor guy to go back to Mexico, this was done by a black woman, a black mother, in front of her daughter. The old man did not do anything towards the daughter, towards the mother at all, but he got hit by a brick by the lady, and a couple other guys jump in and kick him to go back to your country. And this is from a black person now, from a minority to another minority.
Wow.
There's open racism right now. And Sean Black and I talk about this other case of a woman wearing a Puerto Rican shirt, the symbols of the Puerto Rican flag, and she rented a permit to have a party in a park. The guy was harassing her so much to take it off and to put on an American flag, and there was a cop right there. But the cop didn't do anything to hold the guy back. Even though the lady had a permit, she recorded everything, she did not yell at, the guy was cursing her out, yelling at her, and racial slur. The cop didn't do anything. Now, once again, if the role were reversed, we would have a different outcome and a different story right now. Now, would we?
This is the scary area that we are living in now. We used to hear from our parents and grandparents, you know, back in the 50s and 60s when racism, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, as you're growing up, you figure, oh, that stuff is old hat. That stuff is in the past. That stuff, it's only happened in the South. This only happened back in the 70s. And then you realize this stuff has been happening ever since. Well, the only difference is it's now being recorded for prosperity, and now we're starting to catch people in the middle of their racism, putting them on social media, which is one of the good things about social media. Even though you've heard me expound on how bad certain parts of social media is, the good parts about this is it's exposing a lot of these racists and a lot of people that are out there doing these things and showing them. And not only is it just, well, we show and highlight this for a couple of days and that's it, they're up there for eternity. So anytime that any nonsense has happened, it's there as public record, and it sits there, and it's you can look at the face of what's been going on and see what happens from there.
Well, another thing that I wanted to bring up too, guys, is that also there's been a rise in anti-Muslim hate crimes that has been going on since last year.
Yes.
There's been attacks on Muslims in other states that, you know, that's not even making the news. I mean, you have racism and you have an anti-Muslim feeling going on here in the country, and it's just spreading all around.
And what makes it even sadder is to bring in the point that Hot Rod makes every week, and it's something that we talk about every week, is how this all ties in to, even though racism is always the hot button topic, and we know that a lot of things that happen because of race, including what I'm about to bring up, is that with all of the stuff that's happened, with all of the nonsense that goes on in the world, with all the things that happen here in this country, you still do not hear about what solutions are they coming up with Flint, Michigan's water, which is an absolute crime. Mm-hmm. What happens with Monsanto and some of the stuff that's been going on with the poisoning of when you use certain pesticides that have now been sold for 50 years, and now we're starting to find out that it's causing cancer in a lot of instances. There's like a big lawsuit that's happening where these companies that create these things are going ahead and doing what they can to try and get stuff off the shelves. But you don't hear about a lot of this stuff because the hot-button topic is racism, and that plays into everything that we talk about.
Good point, but I have 7082. You on the air? You know who he is. You know who this is.
Yo, what up, everybody? Greetings and salutations.
greetings and salutations.
Talk about racism. Here comes the main racist right now, Brother B.
Nah, listen, I'm what's up, Kid Dog? Sean Black, Hot Rod, how you doing?
I'm not a
racist. I don't have an issue with anybody. I just have an issue with people who have problems with me. That's just one-on-one type stuff. But if you have a problem with my color, you're an asshole, because my color ain't going anywhere, and neither am I right now. So what are you going to do, just jump to another planet or kill all the black people? I mean, it's either, you know, or you can go bury yourself somewhere. Like, if you don't want
to
see it, then
if you
get
listen
away
to the news,
it.
They want to take everybody wants to go to Mars and leave everybody on planet Earth while the planet burns and melts itself to death.
Well, I mean, peace out. I would love to see you launch and never come back.
What's your take about the old man that got attacked by the black woman? Well, you posted that on your site earlier.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from. Are you surprised there was a black woman?
She's a jackass. She's a jackass. Yeah, because, yeah. you know what? As many people as – she must have drank the bad Kool-Aid. Because as much as people out there that are sitting there telling black people to go back to their country, who the hell are you to tell somebody to go back to their country? Who the hell are you? You know what my problem – the biggest issue that I have, because I hear you, K-Dog, talking about the rise in Muslim attacks and attacks on Muslims and, you know, the whole racism thing. If you really have to break it down, why are we even paying attention to this shit? Why?
Because
black
people
out there, why are black people still feeding into the racism card? Leave that shit alone. Because the whole thing is this. That's what those type of white people, that's what they want you to do. And of course you keep doing it.
Be angry?
Of course they want you to be angry so you can do something stupid and get yourself shot. Listen, if you're not killing yourselves off at a rapid enough rate, what we can do is probably, you know, incite something to where you'll do something stupid and you'll go to jail or get yourself shot by a cop.
Okay, but like, what happens if you're in a situation and a white person calls the cops on you and you didn't do anything wrong? What would be your reaction at that time?
My reaction would be like, listen, I would put my wrists out and be like, if you want to handcuff me, handcuff me. Because trust me, I'm going to win that case. You ain't going to hear me fight. You ain't going to hear me say nothing. I'm going to just put my hands out. And if the officer said, what you putting your hands out for? Well, he or she called the cops and saying I did something. So you're here, so I'm just putting my hands out for you to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
And you know what? If the cops say, listen, you ain't do nothing. Well, am I free to go? Can I go now? Cool.
But like Sean said, this is a hot button. They keep pushing it over and over. We're seeing it.
Because they are, those type of white people are antagonists. That's what they do. They get you to react so you can, listen, we as black people, a lot of us respond. Exactly, because we respond in the wrong way. We emotional. Oh, you ain't going to play me, son. And then want to start shooting, stabbing, fighting, or doing something irrational to get themselves locked up. Or worse, we have to stop paying attention to this dumbass stuff that's going on. You want to call the cops? Listen, you want to call the cops on me? Be my guest. Call the cops. I keep my ID on me. I have nothing to say. When the cops come, they're going to ask you why you called the cops. And when the cops ask me, I'm be like, I don't know. I was just standing here farting. And all of a sudden, they just called the cops on me. I didn't say anything to the person.
But these guys find it funny how back then in elementary school, the first thing you learned about black history was slavery overall?
It's not funny.
They gave you an edited version of black history. They gave you an edited version because they talked about slavery. They talked about slavery. Then they would skip a bunch of pieces, and the next thing you know, they talk about Martin Luther King Jr. came along and all this stuff, and then that was it. You know, when we were that's what I learned in elementary school. It wasn't until I got into high school that I learned about black history, that I learned about other events that happened in Black history.
First of all, that's not black history. That's American history.
Exactly.
Slavery is American history, not Black history.
And there was always a shame that seemed to be portrayed. Notice I'm using the word portrayed amongst white Americans in the media, in newspapers, in different stories when they would talk about, you know, we founded this great country and we were able to stick the middle finger at the British because we're free from tyranny and we're our
exactly.
own country. And yet we still are today with, even though we may not have full-fledged slavery, there are a lot of people that still feel like they have shackles on them when it comes to trying to get to the particular point that they would like to get to. And those are the kinds of things that are kind of like tying in today with those days of 1600s and the 1700s
right.
that a lot of people continue to try to connect the dots to. And that's what we're trying to figure out. How do you free that without it being an all-out war? Because this is what a lot of people have been talking about. I remember reading a survey or just last week that they said that 49% of the country actually believes that there's an actual civil war coming between the races. Now, is that going to happen, in at least in the sense of what we know as a quote-unquote civil war, like what happened with Abraham Lincoln in those days in the 1860s?
Yeah, the North versus the South.
I don't think that's going to happen. But in the 2018 version of what we're going on now, between technology, between social media, between what we see in the streets, what we see on the news, a lot of people would probably question that there has already been some sort of civil war between the races raging on for a very long time. It's just that it hasn't been brought to the forefront until recently.
But we're in a war that's never going to be settled. We're not going to win this war at all. Why? Education?
The war has already been won. The war has already been won.
Yeah.
It's a subliminal. It's a subliminal war. When George Zimmerman did what he did, that was the act of war. And we live through these acts of war every day, yet we do nothing. So sometimes I have no sympathy for our people, for black people, because if you refuse to come together when something like that happens and stay together, then you're asking, whatever happens, it happens. Come on, man. How many times have I said it before? If I was a white man, I'd be sitting back laughing. What are you going to do? From Trayvon Martin to Tamir Rice to Philando Castile to Anton Sterling, what are you going to do? You ain't doing nothing. That's what I'm standing in your face telling you every day. You ain't going to do nothing. And we don't do nothing.
Before I go to you, K-Dogs, hold on, K-Dogs. Brother B, I slightly disagree with you. I believe they are doing something, but I think they're doing it the wrong way.
They've done more to go against Bill Cosby forming a coalition of colored women and all this instead of going against the real issue. You see what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And when we do go the wrong way, I'll talk about the riots, you know, and other stuff like that. Like,
The fact that a lot of people are not making enough noise, because you see, the thing is, everyone gets upset, everyone protests one day, and I've said this before, one day, and next thing you know, it's business as usual. You go back to business as usual, as if nothing happened.
Well, like I said before on Brother B's show the other night, most black people, they just learn to survive, you know. Most black people are not out there to think for themselves. They just go to work, spend money on nonsense, and carry on to the next day. If they're not involved me, why should I care?
And that's why we're just surviving. We're not thriving. We're just surviving, and that's the problem. When are we going to get off of that pot or shit. We have to think about thriving and progressing forward. Listen,
and
why did Martin Luther King die? What was the purpose of celebrating him every year if we let him down? Malcolm X down. What's the purpose of educating ourselves on certain things if we're not going to follow through? What's the purpose?
You know, Brother B, you and I both spoke about this, and you know what? I'll bring it to the forefront. Like, remember when I told you one time, I said, the problem that we have is like this, is that we're not doing for ourselves. We expect other people to do for us. And that is like, then that is the slave mentality. We need to stop coming to these politicians, to the liberals, and with our hand out and on our knees saying, could you please help us? And they're looking at us like, oh, really? They need our help. Like I said before, a house divided cannot stand.
Stop falling into this Democratic, Republican, neutral, this, that. Stop getting with these parties. Leave all these assholes alone. Because you know what? None of them are concerned about any of us at all. None of them are concerned about us. It's politics, like Jay-Z said, it's politics as usual. It's their game.
That's why I could speak for most of us. That's why, even though we do talk about politics, we really don't care much about politics. Because overall, they ain't doing much. But, like Kato said in the past, if you want change will. You know, you have to make change with local.
You have to.
And that's why
change.
I believe that girl, the Spanish girl, I forgot her name, won and shocked the whole Democratic Party up in the Bronx, New York, because people want a change. And you know what she
said? And it's up
active.
To the people.
But wait a minute. That said the same thing with Obama, and then look what happened.
Oh. And you know what?
Everyone cursed him out.
Exactly. So she'll do it, and next thing you know, the Spanish people will be saying, oh, she turns her back on the community. Why? Because once again, there's the politics. Obama was never able to get over that political wall. Because they even admitted it at the end of his term. Yo, yeah, they did everything. We did everything to try to stop him from putting through A, B, and C. But people want to forget that. The first thing they want to do is just condemn the man of color.
Exactly.
That's why I'm like, yo, stop it. Stop. I'm like, listen, stop playing games with these people, man. If they don't want to play, listen, when we were kids, if there was somebody that didn't want to play with you, what did you do? You went and played with
someone
else.
Leave them alone.
So just when them Arabs are getting killed and stuff like that and things are happening, why are we not banding together? Why the blacks not talking to the Muslims? Why the Muslims ain't talking to the indigenous people? Why are the Spanish coming to it? Why aren't we coming together to go against that one foe?
Oh, well.
Exactly.
Sean, you'd like to add anything else before we move on?
I'll add this, is that with this whole two-party, the Democrat-Republican thing, it's a hive-mind tribal thought process where everybody seems to get behind their respective parties, and that's it. Where you can be a conservative and still be think liberally, but you can also be a liberal and think conservatively. There's always somewhere to meet in the middle that would work. The problem is it takes some actual gumption to do so. And as I've stated before, Republicans have always worked on fear. Democrats don't have the balls to run on their record. And a lot of instances where the Democrats have had a stellar record on a lot of positions, but when it came down to remind people and their constituents why they're running, they decide to be apologists for what they did. Whereas the Republicans have always been about scaring their base. They're coming for your guns. They're coming to the country. Immigrants are coming to take such and such and such. They're going against your conservative values, and a lot of people have run on it. I mean, let's think about this. The Republicans have backed a quote-unquote pedophile, and somebody that is running right now for Congress that is, if I'm not mistaken, somebody that is a right-wing racist.
Yeah.
So if they're willing to back that extreme, no matter who is in that party, and they're supposed to be the party that's supposed to be about family values, down, what does that tell you about the actual government and the way that the two-party system is running now? It's broken.
It's a joke. That's the bottom line.
It is a joke. It's just a damn joke. That's all.
But I just want to add on to this. I just find it funny how we have, like, I'm not bashing a white counterpart, but this is an example of surviving. How we just came back from vacation, but white people love to take vacation. They have time to do other things. Well, some seem like white people like to go out and enjoy their lives, but they have that type of lifestyle. While black people, we do like to enjoy life, but we're always trying to work hard and play with our money, while most white people go out and invest their money.
Because they ain't worried. They ain't worried about it, man, because they always got a backup. We always worried about something.
You know what? I like that concept, and you are absolutely right. There's always a backup.
And we're not educated in how to stay, and we're not educated to do things financially. We're not financially educated.
Yeah, if I always told my white friends, but the kids part, you always have mommy and daddy to run back to when you're in trouble. And, you know, they laugh at me, but I'm like, no, you do. Most of us don't have that. Some of us don't have daddy to go home to. You know,
exactly.
If you guys have a fallout plan, it's mommy and daddy. Us, we have to learn how to make ends meet. But on that note,
real quick, if you notice most of these TV shows, you always see the structure of the white family strong.
Yes.
You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
there isn't too much. Yeah, you never see a weak family structure. But as you were saying, Hot Rod.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I have no females on the panel tonight. Everybody's busy. But I still feel like us four guys, we're still going to talk about this topic. But we got it from last night on Brother B's show, The Menu, Sunday nights at 8:30. He was talking about relationships and insecurities, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
And someone on your panel brought up about relationships and the ring. Sean has been married. Brother B, I don't know if you ever been married or not.
Not yet.
And K-Dog and I, we have not been married. But bottom line, let me get straight to this. Do you think the ring is more important to the lady or the relationship is more important in a woman's point of view? Before you go to you guys' point of view. Sean, you're the bitch here.
Okay. Speaking as the only person of this panel that has been married and has been divorced, I can speak from both of these sides.
See, that's why I went on. That's why I went to you first. You're the sensitive bitch one. I know you're gonna take the woman's side first, so go ahead.
Well, you don't know what side I'm gonna take, so take it with that. But anyway, I'll say from this sense, if you're in a relationship and you get to a situation, speaking from a man's side, where they feel everything is going right. Everything is not necessarily perfect, but everything is completely right. For the male, he's like, you know what? I'm going to lock this down. At some point, I'm going to marry this woman, take her off the market, and let everybody else know that that's the case. In the way our society works, how does that happen? Guy gets the ring, gets down on a knee, proposes to the woman. If she accepts, that woman is quote-unquote off the market. But usually the majority of men that do that, even though that woman has been quote-unquote marked with the scarlet letter of marriage with that engagement ring, the male isn't wearing the engagement ring. For any woman that has grown up since she was a little girl, she was taught the majority of the time that when you get older, after you finish playing with your toys and you get older, you go to school, you get an education, you find the right guy, you get engaged, you get married, and you quote-unquote become a housewife. This was what was told to girls when they were young. So you can take care of home, be a mother, do all of these things that we've been taught from years and years of the same crap. Now, if you're ingrained in that same mentality, then for the girl, it's going to always be about the ring, because the ring signifies I've made my goal to be married. I've made it to that particular goal and that everything that entails. The fairy tale marriage, the fairy tale relationship, everything is incorporated with that ring because that's what it signifies. Males, on the other hand, are seemingly completely different in that sense. Do I think it's more important for a female to have the relationship over the ring? Today, I think they want the relationship much more so than the ring. Although the ring is important and still end all be all, but there are many, many women that have the ring that are, one, not happy, and two, sleeping around because they aren't happy. So
I think they would rather
the relationship over the ring.
I disagree with you, Sean. I believe most females, especially the older ones, maybe the younger ones, I agree with you with that part. But the older ones, like in our era, believe in a ring. Because the ring sealed the deal. The ring, like, I did it. You know, I got the job. Now I got the ring. You know, he mines, whatever. So I believe most females in our age group believe in a ring. Because they're from that old school mentality you just mentioned of having a ring. Because your life is not complete. It seems like for some people, your life is not complete unless you get, quote unquote, married. You know. But K-Dog?
Well, you know what it is with this whole thing about the ring is that a lot of guys, and I'm just going to say it, you know, that we're all men here. I'm just keeping it 100. So guess what? There are guys out there who are using that ring as a way to keep their women from leaving them. And I'm going to explain to you how. Let's just say, okay, they're with somebody like for a year or, you know, and for some strange reason they feel like, oh, if they put a ring on the woman's finger, she's not going to leave me anytime soon. And they
you're saying that he's doing it as a mind game for that female to hold on to that female for the time being? Okay.
Yep. And you know what? There are some women who fall for it. And you know what it is? Like, let's just say, as soon as the woman brings up the subject of the wedding and what to do, they're quick to cancel the date. I've seen this happen with some female friends I know. They're like, oh, you know, I'm engaged and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, when is the wedding? The wedding constantly gets canceled.
Okay.
Now,
brother B.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
constantly.
Sorry. I'm sorry, kid. Brother B.
Yeah, go ahead.
Will you marry me? Brother B, remember when Miss Cherry said that, correct me if I'm wrong, she feel that dating someone for a certain amount of years and that person don't propose, is feel like wasted in a relationship, like the 20 years wasted? How do you feel about that?
Well, my thing is this. If you feel that your time was wasted because you guys were in a relationship, then it must not have been that meaningful or nothing. It must have been nothing at all. Because if you feel you wasted your time, then I guess that ring meant more than the relationship itself.
Exactly.
See, the problem, one of the things is this. If you have no intentions of getting married, then let it be known up front, because there are women out there that are looking for that title. There are women out there that are looking for that ring. That's what they want. That ring and that title means everything to them. And when they don't get it, they're ready to just say, well, forget you then.
Right.
But what I find interesting is you're willing to throw away what you guys had because you're not getting the title. To a degree, you already have the title. You just want the label. You already have the position. You just want that label. And the whole thing is, who are you pleasing? Yourself or society? Who are you pleasing?
Uh-oh.
Yourself or society?
We have a problem now, guys. I guess she must have heard me, and she's like, oh, no. She cannot have this topic without her. Ladies and gentlemen, Tisha's in the house.
What's
hey.
Up,
Tisha? Hey, y'all.
What's up? Welcome back.
I'd like to say, Tisha, will you marry me?
Hell no.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
That was a little rough.
Wow, that she said it was
feeling. Damn.
You know.
What's the question, though?
The ring or the relationship? Because, see, like,
like I told Sean, females, the females today, the younger ones, they care more about the relationship more than the ring. Compared, I told him that the older females seem like they care about the ring more than the relationship. Kind of like to seal the deal because, you know, the older you get, you know, you want to get married, have kids, raise a family, blah, 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 blah.
I'm actually beginning it flipped around. Tisha, I'd like to hear your thought process behind it.
Wow. And I'm just thinking about my thought process from experience. You can still have the ring, get married and everything like that, and some people don't value that still. So I'm still thinking it's about a solid marriage or a solid relationship.
But how about someone like me who don't believe in marriage? Don't believe that, you know, you need a paper or a ring. Well, you know, they could go and fall in love with someone. Can a woman just be happy? Like Brother B and I say, can just be happy with a relationship itself? Do you need a piece of paper overall to show that you're committed to each other?
I don't think you need a paper to prove that you are committed because, like I said, you have people who have the paper who went through the process that don't value it, that still may not value
it.
You
doing a little mixer, huh?
So I would still say it's not all about the paper. It's about how you value that relationship and how you honor that relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what about the females? Like Kato said last night, that put into another female head, like, oh, you guys been dating for so-and-so. Why he did not give you a ring yet?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. Or the influence, because not everybody, marriage is a sacred thing, I understand that. And everybody needs to get married when both parties are ready. Why do females like to pressure other females into getting married or sealing the deal?
Because that also comes from, you know, how you were grown up. Okay, you need to be married by a certain age and such and such and such. You know, when they're not focused on the long-term part of the relationship. All of that part is somewhat an illusion. Sure, it's fun, but somewhat an illusion. I think both parties need to be ready and be mature for this long-term relationship. I don't think when people marry, they realize what they're really getting into.
Oh, well, nothing but hell.
No, that's not hell.
But wait a minute.
There's a lot of issues.
But here, notice, what changes? Why did the issue start after the marriage? If you were in a relationship before and you had your ups and downs, why does the paperwork change?
I'll tell you.
Guess what? You know what happened?
Hold on. Guys. Ladies first, then I'll give it to Sean.
All right.
No, I was going to say what changes is it's a long-term till death do us part commitment.
Yeah, but if you're in a relationship, you're still together till death do us part anyway. Well, why? Because it's labeled now? It's printed on paper? That's the worst part? Is that what changes everything?
I don't know. I want to hear Sean's opinion on this.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead, bro.
That's another 10 minutes wasted. Go ahead, Sean.
One of the main things that seems to happen in any of these relationships where people get married, especially when it comes to the male, is the fact that when they have the marriage down, it's almost like a lot of people lose the motivation to stay to what they did to make everything work before they got married. You used to take her to the movies. You used to go on these dates. You used to get her flowers. You used to do certain things that you would normally do in general. What a lot of married people do, especially on the male side, is I've got her already. She's wearing my ring. She's already lost part of herself because she's gotten rid of, for the most part, she's gotten rid of her last name and has assumed your last name. So what ends up happening is that when that becomes the case, complacency sets in. And then when the relationship is getting into, let's say, a rocky area that maybe you haven't confronted before, if there is no effort to try to make sure that particular rocky area gets taken care of, and you have in your mind, there is no option, we're not getting divorced, we're not breaking up, we're going to solve this, like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. They talked about the fact that in their relationship, when they come up to something, they go into it in the mindset of there is no divorce. We're going to work our way through this. If you don't have the effort on that side, it's going to break down. So that's where I think a lot of these, when you hear about 55% of marriages end in divorce, a lot of that is because of, especially a lot on the male side, is that I have her, I don't have to worry about her. It's like you got the marriage, you put her on the shelf, and then now I can keep being my male self and do my male things instead of doing things that benefit the couple as a whole. And that's one of the things that does not happen a lot.
K-Dog?
And that is the problem right there, because you know what? Unfortunately for us as men, we get comfortable. We wooed this woman. We sweated her. We tried our best to impress her. And then once we put the ring on her finger, we just lose everything. We lose ourselves because we start treating her like a girlfriend instead of treating her like a wife.
No, but guys, you could do that before during a relationship. If you're together with someone for 10, 15 years,
wait a minute.
The same thing
will
happen without the ring.
Wait a minute. I'm about to get into this. I'm about to add more. The problem is with us as men, we get too comfortable. And the same thing goes with relationships. You get too comfortable. Or, she's not going to leave me, like I said earlier. You know what?
But women get comfortable too.
Yes,
women
do
get comfortable.
Women do get comfortable. That happens too. It happens on both sides. I'm glad I'm going to bring that up. But however, like I said earlier, about a lot of guys do this. They put the ring on the woman's finger, and guess what? They're like this. Yeah, I put the ring on her finger just to shut her up. She ain't going to leave me. And all of a sudden, like I said before, she brings up the marriage. She brings up, when are we getting married? Oh, come on, don't bother me with that. Now, I don't want to be bothered with that. Come on, stop sweating me. You know, all this bring up arguments. And she's like, you put the ring on my finger. What are you doing? All right, I put the ring on your finger. All right, when I'm ready. Jeez, man, why are you sweating me for? If you know that you are not ready for marriage, do not give the woman false hope. Do not put a ring on the woman's finger if you know you are not going to take her to the altar. Because guess what? Some women are so faithful, they keep that ring on their finger with hope that the guy is going to plan a wedding. And guess what? Once you see, and I'm sure T will understand this, a year will pass by, nothing happens. 2 years pass by, nothing happens. Are you ready for round three?
I don't know. My thing is this. There are women out there, and I've come across them, that try to pressure men into getting them a ring. And the whole thing is you get them the ring and then turn around. Listen, everything is good during the honeymoon phase. You guys get into a relationship. You're dealing with each other for a few years, and things look good and this, that, and the third. But then for some reason, people start wigging out once the
start changing
comes up. Yeah, marriage. And there's more that it seems like somebody expects more. Like, well, we're married now, so you're supposed to do more of this or you're supposed to do more of that. And that's from both parties. Like, well, yeah, I got you the ring. I got you the ring. I got you what you wanted. Now, like, leave me alone. But then on the flip side of it, there's a woman like, well, hey, yeah, you got me the ring, but you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, this, that, and the third. But the dude could be like, hey, listen, I got you what you wanted. I spent a couple of grand. I got you the ring. I gave you the fairy tale wedding, this, that, and the third. What else do you want that you weren't content with when we were in a relationship? Because for some reason, everything is fine during a relationship. But then when you start adding other things and people start feeling the pressure of, we need to do this because I'm getting old and I got to get this done and that done. Why does your agenda have to be a part of my plan?
And that's where it doesn't work out because
as we all could agree, communication is always the key, right? Some people don't communicate about this in the beginning or in a relationship.
And you know what, Hot Rod? Pardon me for interrupting, but that is the key. If you don't communicate with your significant other in the relationship, then how the hell is it that you expect things to work out? If you have an attitude and the guy's asking you, saying, hey, what's going on? Why are you having an attitude for, oh, nothing? And then all of a sudden, boom, you just attack the person, and you're like, why, you couldn't talk to me about this?
Because we're not seeing real relationships anymore.
Exactly.
We're seeing lust. We're seeing sex. We're seeing homie lover friends. That's all we're
There's
seeing.
No love.
That's
love
why people, a lot of marriages are not surviving. That's why we don't see dates anymore.
And there's no proof of, even if you get into a relationship, to give you a perfect example, in that whole idea of dating, you know, if you propose, it takes a year, it takes a whatever. When I proposed to my ex-wife,
here we go.
We both set the date of, well, this is something that Hot Rod will never get into. So, but I, as we asked about the date as far as what date we set, I said it the day that I proposed. So that lets you know that I was serious enough about a commitment. And that is a lot of people don't get into that because, as the panel said before, a lot of times somebody will go ahead and propose and then they'll put off a date. Well, did you guys come up with a date? No, not yet. And it's like a year later. You guys come up with a date? We're still thinking about it. No.
Mm-hmm.
Set it.
Now you got outside pressure.
When you have other people bringing in, well, when are you going to have children? When are you going to have a house? When are you going to move in and get, when are you going to do this? When are you going to get your own house? When you have outside people coming in that either have nothing as far as input goes as far as what's going on between you two, what's comfortable for you two, and allowing them to change perspective as to what makes you and your significant other happy just between the two of you, then that marriage, that relationship, that bond is not as strong as you think it should be because you're allowing outside forces to become insiders. And that's part of the problem.
But also, I think another problem is we have 3 minutes left. We have too much of society putting pressure on us. Just like you said, Sean Black, I don't know, family. I think for most part, especially on females, Tisha, they compare their relationships to other relationships, especially reality shows. Some females need to stop doing that. Stop doing the comparison.
I don't know. I think that's the younger generation. I don't know.
Exactly.
The older generation, not into that.
There's too much comparisons going on.
Yeah, older generations usually compare it to their parents or to some other family members.
To their parents.
Where the younger generation compares it to the Real Housewives of whatever.
I knew one chick who was comparing me to the chapters in the Steve Harvey book, the first one he wrote. Oh, you like chapter 12? I was like, what?
I understand you want to get guidance in your relationship. There's a difference between guidance and getting advice and help and with comparing to somebody else. Nobody don't have a perfect relationship. We all could agree on that. Except for Sean.
Exactly.
Best of the best.
Can I just ask the panel, can we just put a spin on it? So you get your long-term relationship or your long-term marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since you are all guys. Why do men cheat? Talk to me.
Again?
Oh, man, that's the oldest question in the book, my dear.
Okay.
That's the oldest question in the book.
I have one.
It's been known throughout history.
Hold on.
No, well, why do women? Why do women?
Same thing. Why do people?
But it's more
men on the panel.
No.
Sometimes you know what? Sometimes it's not. It's about satisfaction. It's not about being dissatisfied with what you. It's not about being dissatisfied with what you got. It's sometimes you just want a little more.
No, my father always told me, you cannot eat the same soup every day. You need to try different soups sometimes, okay?
Exactly.
Sometimes you like chicken
you
noodle soup.
You need a side dish.
You like
if you have
soup,
a main dish,
you know?
You need a side dish. You need a dish on the side.
You
want
to know something? If you really care about the dish that you're having
here we
to
go.
Eat,
here we
yes.
you get
okay.
some seasoning, and you make that stuff taste good. As best
oh,
as
yes,
as
you do.
You are such a kiss ass, Sean. Sean, you are such a kiss ass.
So how is it? Listen, Moses had ex-wives.
There's other people, exactly.
But you want to know something?
See, it's not fair when a female do it to a man, though. You guys are just so
sad. I'm an adult. Do what you do. Just don't bring it home.
We have to go now, guys. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for
We're going to continue this bad boy.
Oh, you see where you started, Tisha? Tisha, you started this.
Yeah,
oh, good night.
Continue it. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everyone, and thank you.
Good night, y'all.
All right, good night.
Peace out.